Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, where we discuss all the latest NFL news and action from around the league. We got the Los Angeles Chargers up on the ticker tonight. We're also going to talk about what else we got up? Aaron Rodgers and why his situation with the Green Bay Packers is kind of a tough one to understand. But let's start with the Bosa boys. You know, what if Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa were on the same defense? Why trading up to get the best player in the draft is a smart move for the Los Angeles Chargers? It's no secret that Nick Bosa is the best player in the NFL draft. Even though Bosa only suited up for 3 games last season, he still managed to rack up 4 sacks and 6 TFLs during his final season at Ohio State. At times, the younger Bosa brother looked like J.J. Watt in his prime, and that's why the Los Angeles Chargers should consider trading up to get the former Buckeye. You know, Phillip Rivers' time is winding down, and once he retires, then L.A.'s Super Bowl hopes will go down the drain, which is why the front office should be aggressive and take the next step defensively by pairing up both of the Bosa boys. You know, those two guys, along with Melvin Ingram, will be a trio that dominates every offense they go up against. Yeah, it will probably cost the team a first-round pick for the next 2 years to move up from 28th overall. It's a similar deal that the New Orleans Saints made to get Marcus Davenport. But the best thing about the Chargers situation is the comfort level it will provide for Nick Bosa. Being on the same roster as his brother means he's got at least someone in his corner at all times. When you're going to a new team and meeting a lot of new people, you know, that can make all the difference in the world. Not to mention Joey Bosa is also a force to be reckoned with off the edge, and quarterbacks aren't going to have any time to throw the ball when they go against this group. Would it be a risky decision? There's no doubt about it, but that pass rush would overwhelm those blockers up front, and they could rattle Tom Brady in the playoffs next season. Proven Nick Bosa is exactly what the Chargers need to get over the hump in 2019. So Nick Bosa, best player in the draft. Yeah, he only played 3 games last year, but he looked just like J.J. Watt in his prime. To me, Bosa, you know, obviously the red flag for him is the injury issues. You know, only playing in 3 games, you got to red flag him for that. But if you pair Joey up and Nick up, and you also have Melvin Ingram, those guys are going to torch offensive linemen. They're going to rattle every quarterback they go against. And remember, Los Angeles had such a great defense last year, and Melvin Ingram held it down for most of the year by himself because Joey Bosa was also hurt. And I know what you're thinking, why add another Bosa and have them both be hurt? I think that was a 1-year thing. I think both of them will be fine and both bounce back in 2019. You get both those guys and Melvin Ingram on the same defense, and they are just going to be so disruptive that it could be enough just to overpower teams, despite, you know, if they have a coaching advantage or a strategic advantage. And who I'm specifically talking about is the New England Patriots. You know, Bill Belichick schemes up teams better than anybody else in the league, probably better than anyone else in NFL history. So if it's close, the Patriots are going to win. But, you know, you add Nick Bosa to that defense, and then you have Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, and Melvin Ingram. Suddenly, you know, Tom Brady's under pressure on every single snap. And, you know, that's going to make life for him so difficult. And remember, the Patriots hung like, I don't know, wasn't it like 40 points on the Chargers last year? I think it was like 40-28 or something like that. You get Nick Bosa, I don't think New England's going to score 40 points on the Chargers again. Obviously, you're going to have to give up two first round picks this year and next year is kind of similar to what the Saints did with Marcus Davenport. But to me, it's worth it because Bosa is a guy that can put you over the hump. And if, you know, Tom Brady can't throw the ball downfield, if he doesn't have time to hit Julian Edelman on those out routes and all those, you know, slants and everything else they do, then I don't think they have a shot. You know, you beat New England by eliminating Tom Brady and shutting down the things he does well. You know he's a pocket passer. He just wants to beat you from standing in the pocket and making these throws downfield. Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa, you know, they're going to be training together all year. You know, obviously Joey Bosa is going to pass down everything he knows to Nick Bosa. Melvin Ingram's going to help out too. There's just too many pass rushers there to block, and eventually someone's going to break free. And not only are they going to get to the quarterback, they're going to lay him out. They're going to rattle him in the sense that the quarterback's going to be taking so many hits. He's going to be under so much pressure that most QBs in the league will probably end up folding. And the other reason why I believe they should, you know, make the move up from 28th overall to probably second with the 49ers is because once Phillip Rivers retires, then their Super Bowl window pretty much closes. You got to get it before Rivers leaves. And, you know, Nick Bosa gives them the best chance to do so. If you, you know, want to take my word for it. So, pretty interesting to think about. We'll see if what they end up doing. But, you know, if I was in charge, if, you know, San Francisco would do that, they would give up that second overall pick, excuse me, for two first round picks, then it's definitely something that that at least the Chargers should throw out to the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, I think John Lynch would probably bite. I know they want Quinnen Williams there at, you know, second overall, but, you know, adding two first round picks is so huge. And I don't think you can pass that up if you are the 49ers. The other topic we have, the other topic is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So Aaron Rodgers, he comes under fire for how everything fell apart with him and Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. And, you know, what happened is a Bleacher Report article came out, and it had all the juicy gossip. You know, the Bleacher Report author did a bunch of interviews with players, got to the bottom of everything, and basically for Mike McCarthy, it didn't go well. So here's what I got on that. You know, a Bleacher Report article came out recently, and it shed light on the Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay. Well, the article painted McCarthy as an incompetent coach who always called the wrong plays. It's easy to see where Rodgers' frustration comes from. You know, when Mike McCarthy was with the San Francisco 49ers, they chose Alex Smith over Rodgers, and that rubbed the future two-time MVP the wrong way. So right away, there's that dark cloud hanging over their relationship when both guys arrived in Wisconsin. Then there's the fact that McCarthy wasn't nearly as bright as Rodgers. You have to remember the former Cal quarterback Rodgers scored a 35 on his Wonderlic test. And, you know, he can process information at a rate that is far beyond what most people are capable of. So when McCarthy couldn't keep up and he didn't understand how to use personnel packages and route concepts to create opportunities for his team, it made Rodgers furious. You know, why should Aaron Rodgers have to dumb it down to fit into a system that wasn't better for the Packers offense? You know, Green Bay needs a head coach that Rodgers can feel comfortable trusting. And clearly Mike McCarthy, was never that guy. That stirred up some insecurities in the team's former head coach, just like it did when Brett Favre, when Aaron Rodgers was brought in to replace Brett Favre. To be fair, Favre was way worse to Rodgers than McCarthy, but McCarthy, you know, let his attitude begin to slip, and it was because of his inferiority. You can't blame Aaron Rodgers for this because you're supposed to fulfill your own potential. You know, making yourself small to appease the people around you will never be the right choice. We live in a world where jealousy and envy is all around us, and you see a similar situation going on with Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. You know, everyone looks up to the quarterback, and sometimes that makes them a target because somebody out there always wants to tear you down. So with Ben Roethlisberger, you know, you got his former teammates Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown trying to pull him down. And why? Probably because Ben Roethlisberger led the National Football League in passing yards last year, and because quarterback always gets a lot of attention. And whether Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell want to admit it or not, there's a little bit of envy there. There's a little bit of jealousy there. There's no doubt about it. So Aaron Rodgers wasn't necessarily getting backlash from his teammates, or I guess to some degree he was getting backlash from his former teammates because, the tight end there that they had, who was the tight end? JerMichael Finley said some bad things about him. Greg Jennings said some bad things about him. So there's been more than a few people that have been critical of Rodgers. And, you know, McCarthy and him, there was a lot of friction. You know, there was a time when Aaron Rodgers said stupid fucking call to him. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said it. Stupid effing call to McCarthy after a play call that he didn't like. There was a time where they almost came to, it looked like they were almost going to come to blows. It was definitely obvious that Aaron Rodgers wasn't too excited about working with Mike McCarthy. I think part of that is because Mike McCarthy, I guess one of the reports came out that, you know, Aaron Rodgers felt like Mike McCarthy had a low football IQ. And to me, what that means is there's certain plays that you call based off the situation and the circumstances. So, like, if it's third down, you want to run a smash concept, which is a curl on the outside and a flag route in your slot from your slot, you might call that so, you know, you can work that slot route or that slot, which is a flag route or a corner route, depending on what your terminology is. And you call that so it's a route that goes past the sticks and you can throw it for a first down. Well, if you have Mike McCarthy and he's calling, you know, all curls short of the first down, you know, to me that would be low football IQ. That would frustrate Aaron Rodgers and he wouldn't be happy with the play call that McCarthy signaled in. Maybe McCarthy was calling, you know, bubble screens on third and long and things like that that just didn't give the Packers a good enough shot to compete. I know one other thing the team was really mad about is McCarthy kind of was gutless a lot of times down the stretch, especially I think it was a game against Seattle in the playoffs. He didn't really, you know, have much confidence in his team to roll the dice and take chances and take risks. And we saw even how things faded away or unraveled and, you know, faded out at the end. It was pretty clear that Mike McCarthy was kind of a lame duck coach, very passive. I think this past year, I think he punted the ball away on a fourth down. I forgot what game it was, and he probably should have gave Rodgers his chance at it because that ended up being the ball game. It's just things like that that Mike McCarthy wasn't doing a good enough job, and it frustrated a lot of the team. and they didn't get enough rings as they should have with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy there in Green Bay, which is why McCarthy's gone. That's all I have, though. I'm John Kuzma. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Have a great day.